You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Well, sometimes it does turn into the Jerry Springer Show, especially when I am in the host seat. Welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show. As you can tell from the voice, but not the hair, because it's radio only this week, I am Peter Burns from the SEC Network and over on SiriusXM. Good to be back here sitting in the Paul Feinbaum big throne, I should say. A lot of stuff to get into today. Andrea Adelson's going to be joining us talking about her surprising article a couple of days ago, talking about there's actually some college football players who are not on board with a 12-team playoff. Talk to Max Olson a little bit about different recruiting that's going around the SEC and college football world. One of my favorites, Jacob Hester, LSU legend from down in Baton Rouge, to talk to us about his LSU Tigers a little bit later. And Joseph Goodman, a great article over on AL.com earlier today, talking about kind of just, you know, really kind of the redistribution of wealth around college football and what's going to happen around the Iron Bowl with name, image, and likeness. As always, we will take a bunch of your phone calls today. So if you normally can't get in, maybe today's your day. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Some of you guys are great, already holding right now, so we appreciate that. And as always, if you want to yell at me on Twitter, you can do that as well, at Peter Burns ESPN. And we are officially a week away from SEC kickoff. Remember, it's no longer media days, it is SEC kickoff 2021, and I'm pumped, I'm excited. This week, or this time next week rather, Paul, myself, and many others will be down in Hoover, Alabama for one of my favorite events of the year, because, you know, we were kind of robbed of that experience last year with COVID, not having media days in the kickoff event. And, you know, even last year, it kind of felt until week two or three that kind of all got our sea legs underneath us and knew about the storylines, knew about the players, because frankly, many of us did not have an opportunity to get down to the campuses like we normally do in the spring or talk to the coaches over at the kickoff event. So, you know, it'll be kind of like the first day back from summer school, right? You know, whenever you get back and you see your boys and your friends, there'll be karaoke at some bad bars down in Hoover, and we will have a blast doing it. But I'm excited because I do feel, and we'll talk about a lot about this over the course span of the week, is that this is really college athletics 2.0, right? I mean, you think about everything that has changed recently in college sports, and especially in the SEC, right? We've seen the transfer portal come, but now we're going to have immediate eligibility here in this conference, which is already, you know, I mean, we've seen that. Dare Rosenthal going from LSU to Kentucky this week. We see Demetrius Robinson going from Georgia over to Auburn. Like, we're already seeing that, right? Then you add name, image, and likeness. Then you add the return to fans, these great fans here in the SEC getting back to the stadiums, being able to tailgate in the Grove or before an LSU game or down at Samford, like all of these great spots. And so it's kind of this return to normalcy. And it's also an opportunity to really see not just the four new head coaches. I almost think it's eight, right? Because going back to what Mike Leach had in his first year, Lane, Sam Pittman, Elijah Drinkwitz, all of these coaches, that was almost like kind of a redshirt year for them. Right? They didn't get a chance to see with the fans in there. They didn't get a chance to have kind of a full spring ball and fall camp. And yet here we are. And that's why it's arguably one of the most anticipated seasons that we've had, honestly, since I've been here at the SEC Network, there's no doubt, but arguably maybe in the last 30, 40 years because of the amount of talent that we have. Your phone calls will be here, as always. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855 855- 242-7285. Remember the storylines coming in on football-wise. As far as Monday, we'll have Florida, LSU, and South Carolina. We'll kick it off. Then Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee over on Tuesday. Bama, State, A&M, Vandy. And then coming up on Thursday would be Arkansas, Auburn, and Missouri. You want to talk about those storylines? We can. We'll get into why Georgia fans are starting to upset me. But I won't get into that just quite yet. Raymond, thanks for joining the Paul Feinbaum Show with Peter Burns today. From Indiana. Talk to me, Ray. What's up?
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I've been trying to get in for a couple of months. Give me a couple minutes, okay? You remember Kurt Warner played football?
And the guy who used to be a grocery groceries at one day. Yes, sir, I do believe.
Right. I got him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a long story. You probably ain't got time to listen to it, but look under American Underdog, Kurt Warner story. The movie's coming out after 8.5 years. It's going to be how God turned a nobody into a somebody, and all the money's going to go for special needs children. So if anybody on their cell phone wants to find out more about the movie, look under American Underdog, Kurt Warner story. The movie's coming out December 10th. It got kicked back a year because of the virus, but the movie got done about a month ago. I talked to Jan. I said, how's the movie doing? She said, Kurt and Brenda have seen it, but nobody else has seen it. The movie's done.
Looking forward to it. You know, I saw the preview a couple of days ago come out about it over on social media, Ray. So hadn't had a chance to dive into it yet. I'm still getting, listen, when you have two kids under the age of four, you never get a chance to go to the movie theaters any longer. I never knew that was a thing, but now I understand it. Ray, if you're still there, why are you so passionate about this story?
Well, because he's doing a lot of it for special needs. So, you know, he adopted a couple children from her first marriage. He had 10 kids, and he always thanked Jesus when he won or lost, when he flipped his career. So I always followed his career. And when he retired, I was glad he did because he was getting a lot of concussions from playing with the Rams and the Cardinals, two of the worst franchises in history, and still are, really, since he left. And I found these jukeboxes down the lows, 50, 60, and 70s, 50%. I got 90%. I mailed them to him. He was nice enough to autograph and type a letter up and send it back to my apartment, him and his wife and 10 kids. So I had 5,000 people call down to get him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, putting some pressure on him. He was on his third ballot. It takes 45 out of 52 writers, 80%. But I knew if he didn't get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the movie would never come out. So I went to his induction. I give him a high five. I had paid $4,000 to go down there. They wanted to charge me $2,000 to get his autograph and pictures. I wasn't paying that crap. But I was very passionate about his career and how godly of a man he is. He's not only a great football quarterback that come out of nowhere, he's a greater human being as far as helping people.
Ray, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the insight, and I also appreciate you had a little music soundtrack in the back of your phone call today. 855-242-PAUL, if you want to get in here with Peter Burns hosting today. You know, it's interesting because, you know, Kurt Warner had that second opportunity, or really even third opportunity, to kind of reinvent himself, and he clearly did, right? And you look at, you know, guys being able to rebrand themselves and kind of making a transition here is, I look at kind of what that's happening right now, and we've seen a little bit of it in college football, right? And I guess it's not just college football. It's all college athletics. Now with the transfer portal, you're having guys that have that second opportunity. The question is, are they getting that second opportunity because that they just didn't really try hard at the first place? Or, hey, a new fresh start all of a sudden gives them a chance to unlock a different level. And we're going to see that. We've never seen that here in the SEC before, right? We've never seen, you know, normally if you transfer, you have to transfer out of the conference. You had to get, permission. Now, the SEC and the rest of the conferences say, hey, listen, more player rights. Here it is. You guys wanted it. This is what it's going to be like. Coming up on the other side, I want to have that conversation with Andrew Adelson, who wrote a fantastic article about something that was going on with the University of North Carolina and their team. But a lot of it has to do as well with what's going on in the transfer portal and how ultimately this is only going to really help the whale programs around college football, and that's really good here for the SEC. My name is Peter Burns. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Of course, the phone lines are always going to be open. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Peter Burns filling in for Paul here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum today. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Of course, always your phone calls 855-242-PAUL. Although before we were joined by the much more talented Andrea Adelson, Cam, I do, you're producing for me today. I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, my friend.
That's fine, Peter. What's up?
Yeah, so whenever you called Andrea in the break, the first thing you did was said, hey, you obviously know that Peter's filling in for Paul today.
It wasn't the first thing I said.
Yeah, well, I kind of felt too early in the conversation.
It was the last thing I said.
Yeah, I just don't. People, our guests today don't need to know that Paul's out.
I don't want to sneak attack them with someone else. I know you have the same first initial, but that doesn't mean
you're Paul. Just say P's hosting a day. Just say one of the apostles right there, named after one of the apostles, is hosting. Andrea
Paul's
Adelson.
Protege.
No, I don't know about that. Andrea, would you have been more likely or less likely to come on the show had you known it was me hosting instead of Paul today?
Oh, 100% less, Peter. I feel like I should hang up right now.
It's okay. You know, Jacob Hester feels the same way, and sure, a bunch of our other guests today as well, too. I think I heard sarcasm in your voice, but I'm not quite sure. Although, Andrea, I the reason why I wanted to have you on today is I kind of thought there was maybe some sarcasm in your tweet from a couple of days ago when talking about North Carolina head coach Mack Brown was on that Zoom conference and was talking about players and getting their feedback on a 12-team playoff. And I thought it was sarcasm when he said the players were against it. What do I need to know about this?
Well, you detected sarcasm in my voice when I said I should hang up. I always love coming on with you, Peter. Thank you for having me. But no, that was not sarcasm coming out of North Carolina. None of the players are in favor of a 12-team playoff. And the thing that I love about Mack Brown, because he's so media friendly, is he has these periodic Zooms with us in which he runs down everything that's been on his agenda. And he offered up to us on this Zoom last week, oh, by the way, I talked to our players about the playoff, and none of them were in favor of 12. And at that point, I started scratching my head and saying, what, you're just going to drop this in the middle of a Zoom about name, image, and likeness and recruiting and right. preseason expectations? So I had to ask a follow-up because, Peter, as you know, we haven't really heard a lot from players about how mm-hmm. they feel about a 12-team field. This thing came out over the summer, and we haven't had access to players. And so Mack essentially said that ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips wanted every coach to talk to their players about expansion of the playoff to see how they felt about it. And so that's what Mack was doing, wanted to get the temperature in the room. And I think he was maybe a little bit surprised when he asked for a show of hands how many are in favor of a 12-team playoff, and there were zero. The favored model, it was split between 6 and 8. The players do want expansion, but they felt 12 was too many teams, and they're worried about the number of games they would potentially play. And they also felt that maybe there weren't 12 teams worthy of even making a playoff. And so I ended up talking to a player about it, Jeremiah Gemmel, for his thoughts. I just thought it was really insightful and interesting because all these grown-ups in the room have made this decision without maybe getting feedback from how the players feel.
Andrea Adelson joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. And it's fascinating, right? Because how much have we talked about player empowerment with name, image, and likeness and all, and transfer portal and immediate eligibility, and yet the biggest players, literally players, that term, are the ones that are going to be out there playing, yet they don't have a seat at the table. Now, there is a question whether or not, Andrea, do they, do they determine the rules on, hey, what's going to be in the rule book as well? But they should at least have that conversation. So you talk to me. They said they wanted an expanded playoff. Was it because so much of the they were worried about too many games being played? Was that the kind of the core basis of it?
Yes, for 12 teams, they were worried about the number of games. They were worried about wear and tear on the body, especially for starters that don't really get a lot of rest to get the majority of reps in games. And they were also worried that it would water down the field, that maybe there aren't enough teams out of 12 that would be capable or worthy of playing for a championship. And I said to Jeremiah Gemmel, who's their top linebacker, one of the best linebackers in the ACC, I said, you guys would have been potentially in a 12-team playoff if there was one last season. Right. They finished the college football playoff rankings at number 13, and right behind Coastal Carolina. So, of course, you start thinking conspiracy theories, well, maybe they'd get the ACC team in over the group of five team for that last playoff spot. So they would have been in that conversation for number 12. I think that's fairly obvious. And he said, it's a good point, and I've thought about that. He's like, but the thing is, when you lose games in the middle of the season like we did to Virginia and Florida State, I don't really feel like we deserve a playoff shot. We want to win all of our games. We don't want to sit here and be given mulligans because we blew games that we shouldn't have lost. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective, right? Because it's kind of counterintuitive. You think players want to have that opportunity no matter what, no matter what their record is. But Jeremiah Gemmel was telling me, I don't really think that we deserved a spot in 12-team playoff because we lost to teams like Florida State, which wasn't a team with a winning record last year, and Virginia, a team that they should have beaten last year. I just thought it was really interesting perspective. And quite honestly, last time I was on with Paul, I said to him, one of the biggest questions that I have at a media day was to hear from players about how they feel about the playoff. I just don't feel like we've heard enough from them, and perspective like that Jeremiah offered to me, it's not one that I even considered myself.
It's interesting, Andrea, as you say that, when I knew I was going to have you here hosting the Paul Feinbaum Show today, I texted an SEC coach myself, and I said, how much of those conversations have you had with your guys? And he's like, it's ongoing right now. He's like, there's a bajillion other things that we're worrying about, obviously with name, image, and likeness and the upcoming season, because, we're still a couple of years away, possibly from it even expanding. But it was said, hey, listen, there's some guys that'll be for it, and there's other guys, like you said, that they know they're going to the NFL. The quicker that they can get there with the least amount of wear, that's big for them. So it is an interesting interesting intersection. And if for no other reason, it basically should make everybody pause just a touch. Also to say, well, wait a minute, let's get the players' aspect of it as well, at least to have a seat at the table as opposed to, look what happened with the NCAA when they'd had nobody at the table, nothing got done. Andrea, I look at this, and I joked around a couple of days ago, and I saw the ACC Network Twitter account put out, which one of the Clemson home games are you super pumped for? And it was like South Carolina State, Wake Forest. It was a tough schedule, right? As far as, man, I can't wait to go see a game there. Who in the world gives Clemson a run for their money other than Georgia in week one of the season?
But it's a great question. And you look at Clemson's schedule, and obviously beyond Georgia, there is nobody ranked right now. And that is something that continually comes up in regards to Clemson. Last year, at least, they had Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was a quote member of the conference for 1 year. So we didn't really hear as many complaints about the Clemson schedule, but those complaints are going to start up again as soon as we start to get into the preseason and people really start to drill down into what it is potentially going to look like for Clemson. And this could be a case where, depending on what happens, and this comes up from time to time, if Clemson loses to Georgia in that opener, is that schedule going to give them enough juice if they run the table to make it into the top four? We've seen them lose once in a season. It was to Pitt a couple of years ago and make the playoff. They actually won the national championship that year. But I would argue that the schedule this year sets up slightly worse for Clemson from an ACC perspective, because they just don't have the teams that I think we're expecting to be good on their schedule this year. And then it's going to come down to whatever the ACC championship game potentially looks like. You know, I think North Carolina is going to have a good year. Miami, potentially. A lot of it, I think, for Miami is going to depend on what happens in the opener against Alabama. Yeah, and then how they come out of that. Because for a lot of teams that play Alabama in their opener, the season unravels quickly for them, and it doesn't go well the rest of the way. That's a big question mark. A couple other teams I think could potentially be good. I think Louisville might have a rebound year, so that could be a team that poses some challenges for Clemson. But on the whole, I think we've been waiting to see, you know, the cream of the rest of the ACC rise to meet Clemson, not named Notre Dame. And that hasn't quite happened on a consistent basis. And that's why we're having this conversation about Clemson's schedule and how that's going to set up for them this year.
Yeah. Is it the Atlanta Coast Conference or the Atlanta Cupcake Conference? Is the chance, you know, to see, I mean, all joking aside, who's going to give them a run for their money outside of Georgia in week one? All right. Last question before I let you go, Andrea. SEC kickoff is a week from today. Biggest storyline that does not involve, let's say, Georgia, because we talked a little bit about them. If you want to know one storyline and get a definitive answer from next week's SEC Media Days, which one would it be?
Well, since I live in Orlando and I'm a Florida grad, I'm going to go with Florida here. This is a layup for me, Peter. And really, it's all about the quarterback and the skill players at Florida, because they have a challenging schedule, to say the least, this year. They're hosting Alabama week three, and it's not too early to look ahead and start figuring out what that's going to look like for Florida, considering how many key players they lost off of that team a year ago. And so I think for me, we all know what Alabama's bringing back. We all know what Georgia's bringing back. And I think people feel really good that those two teams are going to have the capability of making it to the playoff. But Florida was that team last year that seemed to maybe take that step we've all been expecting for them to take. And now, can they sustain that and or get a notch above that, considering how revamped their offense is going to look this year? A lot of this, to me, falls on Dan Mullen and that reputation he has as somebody who can build and develop quarterbacks. And that's what Florida is going to be facing this year. And Florida fans are not going to be happy if there's a step back. So for me, I think I want to hear what Dan has to say about the offense and what that's going to look like this year.
We'll hear that from the first day. In fact, a day from a week from exactly this point, we'll be breaking it down here on this show, as Dan Mullen will have already spoken to the media over at Media Days. Andrea Adelson, always great stuff. And I appreciate you not hanging up on Cam when he called to come on today. All right.
All right, Peter. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, thank you. Andrea Adelson does fantastic work. And always weird, because she covers so much of the ACC, and yes, she's a Florida Gator grad. It just means more over here. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Joe, I see you there. Zach, a couple other phone calls. We'll get to you on the other side of this. A quick break. You can follow me on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN. I want to get your thoughts on college football playoff expansion, name, image, and likeness. And also, I got a bone to pick with some Georgia fans. So I'll have that coming up here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. better because it has to be.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum today. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. As always, you can get on hold because we have a lot of you on hold right now. 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. Congratulations to Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, the Vandy boys, going in the first 10 picks of the Major League Baseball draft. Leiter went to the Rangers. Rocker went to the Mets, the second and 10th overall pick. And how about national champions? Feels good to say that. Hail State. I saw Will Bednar get picked by the Giants. Will Clark's almost his former team, so that was really cool to see. And Gunnar Hoglund went out, 19th to the Blue Jays. So it goes from those powder blues to the Blue Jays uniform, which will be pretty darn cool. More of these names flying off the board. We'll tell you who they are as the day progresses. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Joe in Alabama. Joe, what's up, old friend? How you doing, man?
You are my old friend, buddy. How do you know? You never know what you're going to get in a box of Cracker Jacks. Peter Burns, how you doing? You know who this is. Need to crank it off. This is Joe. You know Joe from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You remember Joe?
I do remember Joe, my friend.
I love it. Hey, you can't keep me off ever. They can't keep me off forever on the air. I drove the show for years, and I'm going to drive it today, baby. I'm the catalyst today. Hey, how you doing, Peter?
I'm good. I want to bottle what you have right now in your veins. It feels like
I'm the same guy that had it when I first got you, when you first had me on, whenever you first hosted the show. I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. But hey, I've just followed you. I got kicked off, by Twitter. As a supporter of Trump. Now I want you to follow me back, Peter, and I need some followers. I had 13 or 14,000 followers. I need some more now. I don't have that many now.
Well, Joe, tell me about this. I will follow you if you get
Hey, Peter, remember, mm-hmm. It's Joe. You know Joe.
Joe. All right, so do me a favor.
I think you remember. JFT from Tuscaloosa, Joe.
Okay, Joe, follow me here. All right, we are 9 days away from Coach Saban taking the podium over at Hoover, Alabama, an event you're very familiar with. What's the one thing you want to hear from defending national champion coach?
You don't need to hear anything from the guy. Just watch what he does. That's all. You know that. You know that, Peter. This is not rocket science. Feinbaum said he's got maybe a year or two. This guy's got 10 or 12 years if he wants to left.
Well, and Joe, we got to go because I'm going to get some other phone calls. But thank you for giving me the energy, the jolt that I needed here for the next couple
of
hours.
Do you know who I am?
You're Joe from Alabama. Joe Tessner, joining us. So how about this? What's interesting about this whole situation with Saban, and remember he got, every single year it's kind of like, oh, is this going to be the year? Is this is he going to retire after this year? Blah, blah, blah. Because people are bored this time of year of trying to figure out summer topics. Well, obviously that was put to bed real quickly when Greg Byrne, the athletic director, and Nick Saban, they decided to have a contract extension. And listen, I'm not privy to those conversations or whatever would be, but I would imagine that had played into a little bit of the role of last year being such a weird year and almost having to miss the Georgia week. Obviously, he was back on the field after some false tests and having to miss Iron Bowl week. I think those are the worst things that could happen to anybody that was hoping for the downfall of the Alabama athletic department when it comes to football, right? Because at some point, Coach Saban sat around for a week and realized what life was going to be without football consuming every single minute of his life. And I don't think it was something that he was ready to do. And I think that energized him in a certain way. And I think that this was, even this year, right, with losing so much talent, so many coaches, yada, 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 it always happens. I'm done. I'm completely 100% done doubting Alabama. I did this on this radio show about 6 years ago in an infamous call when I was hosting, saying that Bama was going to lose 4 games and then lose a bowl game, because I thought there's no way that you can just continue to refuel, right? Well, I was damn wrong, right? And that's why he's the greatest coach in the history of the game. And what happened last year is the reason why I don't see him tuning or taking a early retirement anytime soon. 855-242-PAUL. Let's go to Scott in Arkansas. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Peter. It's good to hear you, man.
Hey, man. Hope your summer and your year's been going well, my friend.
Hey, it's been worse, but it could be better.
I hear you. I hear you. What you got for me?
Name, image, and likeness. I like the way that's going. I like to see these kids getting paid off of their name, likeness. I love it. It's about damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the college football playoff situation. Now, let me ask you a question. Did going to the BCS system change the winners or the top four or five in the country?
The contenders were still pretty good. Pretty much the contenders, right? I mean, we think we kind of felt that way, but that was before kind of the Uber 1%, like these super yachts of college football were really truly being built. So it's a little bit of a different. I mean, we had Kansas, you know, up in the days that were competing for a title.
That was 20 years ago.
Right.
That was 20 years ago. Okay. So did the playoff change the top four or five?
We've had 11 different schools, you know, out of 28 different spots. So, I mean, we've kind of had a little bit of growth, but not, I mean, it's traditionally been the powerhouses.
Uh-huh. So when this 12 system hits, what you're going to do is you're going to guarantee Georgia gets in. Not in the top four, maybe in the top 10. So the people that are tired of seeing the SEC schools in the championship game are going to continue to be more tired of that because you're going to get to see Georgia and Alabama play. You're going to see Texas A&M and Alabama play again, maybe for a third time in a season.
You know, Scott, I looked at this, and thank you for the phone call, because I went through a couple years ago, or a couple months ago, rather, when it was kind of put out that it was going to be maybe a 12-team, since when the idea of 12-team playoff was floated. And I looked around and thought, all right, well, let's go back in 2020, 19, 18, 17. Pretty much over the last 5 years, I think the SEC would have had at least three, if not sometimes maybe even four teams involved. But I also thought it was telling that Greg Sankey, the commissioner of this conference, wasn't the one batting down the walls and leading the war, you know, drum saying, hey, listen, we got to expand the college football playoff. He was fine at four. I think that showed you that he valued the sport, he valued the regular season and knew that it was important. Now, if he was just self-serving, he would go 12, 16, hell, 24, it don't matter. However many you got, that's how many college, you know, SEC teams, a better chance that we'll have more teams from this conference get in. So, again, I think the fact that he gave it some pause about before, you know, recommending expansion does show that there's still some things that need to be worked on. But again, all it's going to do is help. Now, Scott, last thing before we go to a quick break, we'll get back to some of your phone calls. You did say you love name, image, and likeness. And I agree, right? But here's the thing. All we're going to see right now are the wins of name, image, and likeness. Okay? We're going to see the Olympic, the gymnast, Olivia Dunn, and getting the money that she's getting for LSU and big deals. We're going to see Bo Nix do his sweet tea deal. We're going to see offensive linemen at Arkansas all getting barbecue. We're getting the feel-good part of name, image, and likeness, and that's great. What we're not getting right now is what could happen, okay? Well, what happens when somebody leans into the gray to sign some player and uses as recruitment? What happens when Arkansas can't use their state, their school colors or their program likeness in any kind of advertisements, yet right down the road in Louisiana they can because there's different state laws? Like, we're not seeing any of the bad part of name, image, and likeness. That's going to come. Now, I'm not one who's going to say, oh my God, the earth is falling. It's going to be the worst thing ever. We got to get rid of it. We just don't know. But right now, there is no doubt that this is a honeymoon period for name, image, and likeness. And everyone has a smile on their face, unless you're a compliance officer around college athletics. More of your phone calls coming up. 855-242 is the number. 855-242-PAUL is that number. 855-242-7285. You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Peter Burns ESPN. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Paul Feinbaum today. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. As we are just a week away from SEC Media Days, from the kickoff, the unofficial kickoff of the 2021 season. And real quick, before I get to Alabadger and some of your phone calls, I do have a bone to pick, mostly with my brother-in-law, as you guys know, who have followed me over the course of the last couple of years here at the SEC Network. I'm a kid born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Port Allen to be exact, and diehard LSU fan growing up. Married a diehard Alabama fan, so that has been a tough situation here in the Burns household over the last couple of years. But we added a different addition to the Burns household or family circle of trust, if you will, over COVID, over the last year, where my little sister married a Georgia grad. Great guy. I like him. He's a good dude, right? Loves SEC football, golfer, great guy. Treats my little sister just absolute utmost respect. So I got a little upset with them a couple of days ago when on Instagram I posted a picture of Indianapolis, home of the 2021/2022 national championship game. And the picture I posted said that it's going to be Georgia winning the title. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm not backing that down. I'll talk about it next week at SEC Media Days. I think Georgia wins it all. And he got in touch with me, and he said, dude, what are you doing? I go, what do you mean? He goes, we don't need that kind of juju around us. Like, don't put that kind of bad voodoo, this mojo, this like, you're jinxing us. And I got upset. Because here's the deal. If you're a Georgia fan right now, you need to embrace these expectations, right? Like, LSU for the longest time knew that they couldn't beat Alabama, right? They were already psyched out the week leading in to that game. Every single year it felt like they put this game on a pedestal and it was just, and all of a sudden they just got freaked out. And I remember going out there on the field in Tiger Stadium a couple years ago. And looking at it, LSU had the swag going. The vibe was crazy. The crowd was rocking. I mean, you could smell bourbon in the air. And I looked across the field and I saw Alabama, and they looked like football playing cyborgs. It wasn't if they were going to win today. It was they're going to win today. It's just a matter of how many points. And I saw that same type personality out of LSU in 2019, that swagger that went down to Tuscaloosa and won that game and won a national championship. But it took that mentality, not only from the fans, but it took it from the team. And so if you're a Georgia fan right now and you see people posting about that and you're upset, stop it. Stop it right now. Friends don't let friends do that. Expect greatness. Expect this championship. Act like it. Because if the first time you don't show up and you think that you're not going to win this title, Clemson will go out there and beat you. And then Alabama will beat you if they make it to the SEC championship game, right? So there's so many ways to go about it. If I'm a Georgia fan, all in or nothing this year. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Alabadger, what's happening, buddy?
Going on, Peter.
What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'd just like to put a little comment there on your last statements and talk about how, like, that mentality. That mentality is going to be lost with the name, image, and likeness. The 12-team playoff, I think it's great. It's going to work out great for the SEC. They'll get at least 3 or 4, maybe 5 in. And I'd just like to hear what you'd say about that.
Well, I want to go back to what did you say early? You said that you think that mentality will be lost with name, image, and likeness. Why was that?
Well, it's just because whenever you give a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid $50,000 and then they got to learn how to do taxes, I mean, not everybody's a Tim Tebow, you know what I mean? And there's going to be a lot of a lot of bad things happen from that, I think.
But it's interesting.
That's my own personal opinion.
No, and I hear that a lot. Alabaster, thanks for the phone call. I hear that a lot. But here's the deal. We also heard that was going to be the thing with, hey, when cost of attendance and the stipends that came out, that was going to change it. Oh, okay. Well, it didn't really change it that much. When the transfer portal came out, it changed it a little bit. But I never worried if Lionel Messi can do his taxes when he was playing soccer, or LeBron James could do his taxes, or when Peyton Manning was with the Broncos. Hey, man, now he's going to have to pay taxes. Like, if anything, it's going to get these guys real world opportunities to understand this is what it's like. And is it about the college experience at that point? Is it going to create ruffle some feathers? Yes, but guess what? The good coaches and the good programs will thrive off of it. And maybe that's good for all of college football. I know it's damn good for all of college athletics because it's been a long time coming. More of your phone calls coming up. Peter Burns sitting in for Paul Feinbaum here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.